chip ball down to that Union Hall. We're gonna rock.
Welcome back. That's Willie Dixon, one of our great blues legends of the Chicago sound, died on this day in 1992. Little Willie Dixon can never hurt anybody. So before we jump into City Paper, reminder, you're listening to the Mark Steiner Show here on WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. And support for WEAA is provided by Interstate Batteries, featuring Interstate's AGM battery. And the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by the Maryland State Education Association. From school funding to Common Core, you can learn about the important issues affecting Maryland students, parents, and schools by visiting the Maryland State Education Association's website at MarylandEducators.org. Excuse me. That's one word, MarylandEducators.org. Or you can go to SteinerShow.org and click on their banner that is on our page. So please do that. We're about now to talk once again to Baynard Woods, senior editor of the Baltimore City Paper. This is Wednesday, which means the City Paper is coming out, and we're going to find out what's in it. I think some good stuff. Baynard, welcome back.
Thanks, Mark. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Doing great. Staying warm. We got a great cover story this week. With all of the attention over the last couple of years that Open Walls, Articulate Baltimore, and Wall Hunters, which we talked about on your show one time, but it's been bringing to mural art, we decided to go back and look at some at the older tradition of mural art in Baltimore that goes back 30 years. And so J.M. Giordano, our photographer and web editor, went around and took pictures of dozens of these, and just some beautiful murals that depict historical scenes or mythical scenes, historical characters, or people in the community. And he does an interview with Ernest Shaw, who was one of the early mural painters in town, and rode around with Gaia, who put together Open Walls to do this, and they talked about it together. So it's a really fascinating look at the sort of history beyond what we normally look at when we're looking at the brightest new wave of these murals. And oddly enough, it began with Mayor Schaefer saying, let's brighten these walls. So in addition to the other things he did, he sort of started this program, which then BOPA and a number of other people got behind. So it's a really interesting story.
I mean, it is. I mean, it does have a long history. And it did go back to Schaefer, and there once was a lot more money in the budget for people to paint murals around than the day of when Bob Hieronymus was flooding the city with his murals that were all over Fells Point, all over the east side of town. It has a huge long history. I don't know if any of Hieronymus's murals are left.
Yeah, I think we were able to find one that we have in the gallery. But for as many as there were, there's not many.
So
not many at all. And also we have a really interesting story about Robert Williams, who, if you've ever been over by Holland's Market, you've seen out on the sidewalk selling what he called African antiques, but a wide variety of objects dealing with either from Africa or dealing with the African-American experience. And some really fascinating stuff. One of them are the really controversial and I'd always assumed blatantly racist and terrible lawn jockeys, which he defends with the story of a young kid whose name was Jocko that held a lantern for Washington crossing the Delaware. And so he collects these things and really sort of turns some of the assumptions that I had upside down.
So was that your story?
No, that was actually Nicole King and Michelle Stefano did it. For full disclosure, Nicole King is my wife, so they did that story.
Transparency is important, Baynard.
Yes, of course.
So that's a really interesting story, and that's one I mean I've seen him on the street. But it's not one that I never knew that story before. So,
and yeah, you can't go into a store; it's so full that people can't fit inside. So he'll go in and bring things out to the sidewalk with you, which is why he's always out there on the sidewalk when you're coming by. So if you're going by, he's a saxophone player, really, really interesting guy. So he's really worth talking to.
So, what's your favorite thing of the week? I just saw on here that you also have the Under Music's Henry Wong making gumbo?
Oh, no. So this is Henry Hong.
Henry Hong. I misread that. It was Henry Wong. It's Henry Hong. I'm sorry, babe.
That would be interesting. That would be totally interesting. Henry Hong did this. I'm going to try it this weekend. He was going to write a sidebar for us last week, and he does a DIY kitchen. It's supposed to be about A couple hundred words, and he ended up filing 3,000 or so words. It's amazing gumbo recipe. So we decided that it was all week. We couldn't cut it, so we decided to wait a week, run it as our whole food section. And he gives you everything from making the roux to how to prepare the meat, how to do everything in advance. So you, it only takes you about an hour of the day that you're entertaining. And wow, we've all been starving all week thinking about this.
So you're going to try – listen, man, to make a gumbo, you have to make your own roux.
Yeah, exactly. And so he goes into all the different theories and practice of roux making, and really has a master course on this. And the weird thing we found out is that in New Orleans, they serve it with, instead of with rice, they serve gumbo with potato salad on top. So he even gives his potato salad recipe, and while he admits that it sounded, and it first to him, really sort of gross to put cold potato salad in your gumbo, that it was really great.
Well, I don't know, man. I've been back in some of those swamps in Louisiana. I mean, there was lots of rice floating. But anyway.
Yeah, that's...
So tell me what else is really grabbing, you think grabs in this issue, grabs you in this issue.
Yeah, so in the arts, we have 12 O'Clock Boys is opening in town this week. So we've been covering that for a while back, but the group of dirt bike riders, and then the film fest, I interviewed the director and the stars of the movie, Pog and his mother, Coco. So Jim Ladd reviews the film this week in advance of its opening. They'll have a grand premiere at Micah, and it's also going to be playing in Owings Mills and around town. And so it's a great, great movie that looks at this issue, but not as an issue, that follows this kid who really desperately wants to belong and wants to be part of this group. And it's such a moving story and so beautifully shot, this film that allows 5 seconds of a wheelie to be stretched out into 35 seconds of just transcendent filmmaking. So I'm really, really excited about that. And then I reviewed the new Single Carrot play that opened, Flu Season, that opened up in their new building, which was a spectacular place. And the play is really an interesting play that doesn't fit in any sort of generic category. And in some ways, seems like it might not work, but it really does work. And it's going to be on for about a month. And I really encourage people to go see their new location, which has a lot more seats, 99 seats, I think.
Right.
And to see the play.
Well, it's always great to have you on the air with us, Bandon Woods. And I encourage people to pick up the city paper and enjoy this issue, and to make your way down to Hollins in South Arlington and check out Robert Williams' place. It's really amazing, the collection that he has, and follow up on that and everything else you find. And try to make that gumbo. We'll see who does it best. Bandon Woods, senior editor, City Paper. Thank you so much, man.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mark. Have a great day.
You too. We'll take a brief break and come back and talk about a festival coming to our community, the Griot's Eye Youth Film and Cultural Festival. Stay with us.